It's my great pleasure and privilege to be with you here this morning. Thank you to Dean Barclay Thompson for the invitation to be with you here today. And I bring greetings from the church in Jerusalem, from the diocese, from our Archbishop Suhail, and for all those who know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. It's wonderful that we share as part of the same body of Christ, one spirit, one church, one Lord. For many Christians, Jerusalem is a magnet. We know of the city as a place of deep significance, from King David through important moments in Jesus' life and then of his final days, death and resurrection. Jerusalem is the place of Pentecost and has continued to be the focus for Christians and indeed for the world, for inspirational reasons, but also as a source of division and turmoil in global political terms. And very few are disappointed by what they find when they get there. In fact, in many ways, pilgrims traveling to the Holy Land are awestruck by the Holy City. If you have never been, I'm sure it isn't because your dean has not commended it sufficiently to you. There must be other exceptional reasons why you have not yet made your pilgrimage there. But to the surprise of many, when they have completed their first pilgrimage, they have found perhaps that the thing that touched them most, and in a sense the experience that they want to hold on to more than anything else, is the time that they spent around and even on the Sea of Galilee. All the reasons for that are probably too broad and too deep for me to do justice to within this short sermon. But I do think that it has a good deal to do with the extensive descriptions of Jesus' everyday life around the sea that we have in Scripture. We feel intimately acquainted with the Sea of Galilee, even before we get there. So when we do get there, it feels strangely like coming to a spiritual home. Also, whereas in Jerusalem, every place of significance has had a church somehow plonked, if that's the right word, on top of it, sometimes beautifully constructed and sometimes not so much. But around the sea, vast swathes of it look as if it is no different to first century times when it was Jesus's home and his neighborhood. As a result, pilgrims often have a sense of encounter with Christ himself as they walk or sit or travel on a boat on that lake. And it is much more helpful to think of it as a largish lake than a sea, of course. Over and over, I have heard pilgrims describing those moments of contemplation as times of inspiration, even revelation. To many, that comes to them as something of a surprise. Of course, it is an encounter with Christ that stands at the heart of the Christian life. Being a Christian is not simply upholding a family tradition, following a religious ritual, or even making an intellectual assent to a series of propositions, though it may have an element of all of those things. It is most importantly about realizing that in Scripture and in sacrament, in prayer and in service, we find that we are brought close to Jesus Christ and in him to God. And it is also that sense of a relationship that was what it was all about for those first Christians. Jesus sought them out and invited them to go with him. He challenged them to leave behind their familiar way of life and their family network and to engage in a work and a life of which they had no previous experience. We hear of one such encounter and invitation in the gospel reading of the day. Of course, an extraordinary miracle, as we heard about in that gospel reading, might help to make an invitation even more enthralling. But in the end, it wasn't the miracles which were the magnetic attraction of Jesus. It was the integrity of his person and the clarity and purity of his purpose. I don't know about you, but I have never experienced a miracle of the sort we heard in the gospel today, either in church or out of it. And yet, I have been entranced by and drawn to Christ since I was a 15-year-old boy, right up to this moment, and no less now than I was then. Last week, the Feast of Candlemas marked a turning point in the liturgical year. No more are we looking back towards Christmas and Epiphany and seeking to comprehend the great mystery of the Incarnation. Now we are looking forward to Lent, to Easter, and so we are invited to make our own response to the presence of God made manifest in the midst of humanity. What difference does this make to us, to you and to me? What difference does the call that Christ has upon our lives make to us? Now, of course, we may be somewhat oblivious to this call. We may be wrapped up in other concerns of day-to-day life, and we may have other priorities. We may resist a sense of call away from the familiar. But the fact that you are here right now suggests there is something, perhaps a great deal, about this Jesus that you know does have a pull upon your life. Resistance to God's call has a very honourable tradition in Scripture. Well, it's almost compulsory. Listen to Isaiah. "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." And yet, before long, there he was, proclaiming God's message as a prophet. Isaiah's sense of God's call upon him was changed by the experience he described as having seraphs take hot coal from the altar in the temple and putting the coal upon his lips. We do not know if this is exactly what happened to Isaiah, but it is the way that the prophet made sense of his experience, that God gave to him something that he needed in order to help him, enable him to affirm God's call. And Simon Peter also was skeptical. Jesus, a carpenter and a rabbi, ventured to instruct the professional fishermen how to catch fish. Peter seriously doubted this man's wisdom at first, but despite that, he gave it a go. Rather than simply turning away and following his own wisdom, he listened and he acted. Lo and behold, Simon Peter found Jesus did indeed know better. Even then, Peter's doubt and sense of unworthiness did not stop. The clarification that Jesus was a man to be trusted only made Peter feel less fit to follow and to serve. For Peter, it was not hot coals upon his lips, but Jesus' words of affirmation and reassurance that led him to believe that if Jesus called him, then he should indeed respond positively. At St. George's College in Jerusalem, we are all about trying to open people up to the possibility that God might have a deeper call upon their lives than they had previously imagined. We hope that the experience of pilgrimage in the Holy Land will do far more than make people stand in awe and wonder at the beauty of the places and buildings, more than just being enthralled by history and a place teeming with fascinating sights and sounds. We want to enable people to sense that the Jesus of history reaches out to us now and invites us to serve God's kingdom, its justice, and its peace. It's one of the great privileges of being a permanent resident of St. George's in Jerusalem that we see wave after wave of pilgrim groups come through our doors and go through a similar process. Once the dislocation of travelling across continents has worn off, the engagement with places and familiar accounts of events in Jesus' life and of those around him begins to work their impact upon them. It seems to be something about familiar events coming to life off the pages of the Bible, and that magnifies their impact. As a consequence, it seems to me that gradually pilgrims feel that God seems closer to them than before, and Jesus appears to be more real to them. For those of you who have been on pilgrimage to the Holy Land, I hope there is something of this that I describe that you recognize. If so, may that experience continue to bear fruit in your life. If you have not yet made your first pilgrimage, then of course, I warmly commend it to you. But more important than going on pilgrimage is to one way or another, by whatever means possible, to know that this Jesus is not simply some distant figure of history or an ethereal object of worship, but the revelation of God, then and now, who invites you, like he did to Simon Peter and the other disciples, to trust and follow him. And Isaiah's call, in a whole different milieu, was a call upon his life, his whole life, and to which ultimately he responded, "Here I am, send me." This encounter and this call is so much more than simply saying, "Yes, Lord, I believe." It's the equivalent of the response of the disciples recorded in the gospel. They left everything and followed him. In the end, it is how we respond that will be most significant. The Christian life is far more than just attending church on Sunday morning, and church is about a great deal more than being an impressive edifice that invites people to come and worship. The purpose of being an individual Christian and the purpose of a corporate body of Christians as the church is to serve God's desire for the world, to show by deeds of service that every person, everyone, is a beloved child of God, and to live out through concrete actions of compassion and justice the will of the God of all creation. Many years after responding to God's call, the prophet, going under the name of Isaiah, summarized the will and purposes of God when he declared with all the confidence he previously lacked, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for prisoners." And of course, this is the very same pronouncement that Jesus made his own at the commencement of his ministry. It serves as the calling and challenge of every Christian and every church. I believe from what I've learnt about Christ Church Cathedral that it is the calling that your Christian community takes very seriously in your life together as the cathedral of this city. A pilgrim is, in some senses, no more than a person who journeys through life in order to encounter Christ wherever and however that may be possible. A pilgrim is a person open to the call of Christ to follow and to serve. In Jerusalem or Houston, in Galilee or in Texas, may we all hear that call and commit ourselves to the loving, transformative desires of the Lord. Amen.